First, you may be familiar with the phrase cash is king or the song cash rules everything around me. But the reign of cash, actual money that we actually carry around, might be coming to an end. More and more of our transactions have been happening digitally. The daily ones, monthly ones, the big ones, the small ones. Might feel like the move away from cash is a natural phenomenon, but our next guest says the leaders of the global financial system have been actively pushing us toward a cashless future for decades. Do we really want it? Is cashless better for us? We want to hear what you think at 800-642-1234. Do you still use cash a lot? If so, how regularly? How have you chosen to keep it up? Has the pandemic changed how often or whether you use cash? Have you switched to more online transactions for things? Do you use a card instead of cash money more often? And what do you think of the idea of no cash at all at some point in the future? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Brett Scott is a journalist, monetary anthropologist, and former financial broker. He's the author of the book, The Heretic's Guide to Global Finance, Hacking the Future of Money. His new book out today is called Cloud Money, Cash, Cards, Crypto, and the War for Our Wallets. Brett, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, great to be here, Rob. Thanks for having me on.
There's a story I think you're trying to contradict in this book, the idea that, okay, we consumers just sort of naturally want seamless, frictionless, cashless transactions. And so the market, of course, is stepping up to answer that public demand. It's a little more complicated than that, you say.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, one of the big things I'm trying to do in the book is to rebalance the story that we have about why there's been a decline in the cash system. So the typical story that we always told is that it's driven by us. You know, we're the ones who are naturally moving away, as you say. So it's presented as a kind of bottom-up phenomenon, whereas I'm filling in the other side of the story. I'm showing that actually for a long time now, there's been many top-down pushes against the cash system and that there's many commercial and political interests at play. And what's been happening is that we've been slowly pushed more and more towards this so-called cashless future, which is actually a bank-dominated future. And actually, it's not in the public's interest to have the cash system go into decline. And actually, we need to maintain the cash system and maintain it as a public utility.
Why is it important to me and anybody listening that, we still have cash around, we still have that as an option to buy stuff?
Sure. You know, one of the metaphors I often say to people is, you know, cash is like the public bicycle system of payments. And by contrast, you know, your cards and all those apps that you use, they're very much like the private Uber system of payments. And, you know, you might like using Uber occasionally and so on, but that doesn't mean you want the entire payment system under the control or the entire transport system under the control of Uber. And similarly, you might like your apps and you might like these digital payment systems, but you really want to maintain the cash system in order to maintain the resilience of the payment system. And actually, there's many negative consequences of the end of cash. In particular, you'll see lots of exclusion, you'll see surveillance, potential for political censorship, you'll see a drastic reduction in the resilience of payment systems. And also you just see a large amount of power being concentrated into the financial sector, which is already a very powerful industry.
Take us to the, 37th floor of a skyscraper where one of these bank industry groups or a financial technology group, we'll talk about how they're coming together in a bit. Why do they care if I buy my donuts, say, with a credit card or a debit card versus handing over cash for it? So when you put all those transactions together, what do they get out of that?
Sure thing. Well, I mean, you know, the Bank of America CEO openly declared, he said, we want a cashless society. And the reason why he wants a cashless society is that the banking sector, the banking industry, controls the underlying account infrastructures that you use when you're doing card payments or you're doing so-called cashless transactions. I mean, bear in mind, this term cashless is a euphemism. It's a little bit like calling, you know, whiskey beerless alcohol. You know, it's a kind of like a, you know, it's not like incorrect, but it's a very evasive way of describing the situation. What a cashless society really is a society where even your smallest of transactions have to go via the banking sector. All right. And even, you know, There's lots of institutions that are built on top of the banking sector, like PayPal as well. But in the end, it's all rooting through the banking sector. So of course, it's in the commercial interests of the banking industry. They not only make fees from all of those so-called cashless transactions, but they also get huge amounts of data. And then of course, there's the payments companies like Visa and MasterCard, who basically specialize in telling the banks who to move money. You know, telling them who's trying to move money from which bank account to which bank account. And then there's the fintech industry and big tech more generally. You know, there's large tech platforms just don't gel with the cash system. You can't automate cash. All right. So if you think about the traditional cash transaction, it's face to face, it's on the street, it's localized. And when you think about internet giants, what the end objective of internet giants is to get you off the high street and to get you to be using digital payments online. Right. So ideologically, they're against the cash system. And so there's a lot of commercial interests at play.
Talking to Brett Scott, author of the new book out today. It's called Cloud Money, Cash, Cards, Crypto, and the War for Our Wallets. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's paint a picture of a future. There's no cash. Everything you do is with a card or an internet transfer. Do you want to live in that world? Answer that question at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. If you buy stuff, do you like to use old-fashioned cash? Or if you sell stuff, do you have preferences between cash or card? 800-642-1234. Well, now there, Brett, I just used the phrase old-fashioned cash, which is kind of what some of the people you're talking about who are pushing a cashless society, that's an impression they're trying to create, that, hey, you stodgy person in line, slowing things down with your cash. Or this is a deliberate message that's been sent.
Absolutely. I mean, bear in mind, you know, going back to that transport metaphor I used earlier, a lot of digital payments promoters try to say that cash is like the horse-drawn cart of payments. It's some old form. Whereas that's precisely why I create the bicycle metaphors. You know, the bicycle is an older form than cars, and yet the bicycle is more popular than ever because actually it provides resilience and diversity to your transport system. And similarly, if you want a resilient, diverse payment system, you need to have the cash system in play. And this, you know, when you ask people, to some extent, this isn't about do you always use cash or not. You know, you don't have to always want to use cash. The question is, you know, do you want to keep it there as an option? Right? And this is often what I'm arguing for. And it's another sort of quick way to convey this to people is to say, you know, hey, you might find it really convenient to use an elevator to get up a very tall skyscraper. But that doesn't mean you want the emergency stairs removed, all right? So think about the cash system as being like the emergency stairs. And actually, you know, the Federal Reserve records massive increases in cash demand prior to hurricanes, precisely because cash is an offline, resilient form of payment, and you really want it there when there's natural disasters hit. So yeah, anybody who tries to paint cash as being some redundant thing of the past often has a particular commercial agenda and a particular ideological agenda, and it needs to be pushed back against.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Michael is with us in Stevens Point. Michael, hi.
Hello.
What did you want to bring up, Michael?
Well, two things. One is there are some people, because of whatever credit situation they're in, who just can't get a card or anything to make a digital payment. And the other thing is if money's tight and you're dealing with cash, you will decide to stop spending when the cash runs out. On a card, it can be harder to keep track of what's going on.
Michael, thanks for the call. Two interesting points. First of all, some people in a purely digital currency world, Brett, Michael's worried, will be left out.
Michael totally nailed it there, because those are two massive reasons why people actually often prefer the cash system. For a start, many people are excluded from the normal banking sector, and not only excluded, sometimes don't actually trust the banking sector. Bear in mind, there's a big class dynamic to this question, right? Often you're kind of, you know, people in big cities and stuff, they think, oh, well, it's fine, you know, obviously you use the banking sector. But actually many people who don't share that assumption that big institutions serve their interests. And even if they do, often can't get access to those institutions. But secondarily, there's a lot of research which shows people spend a lot more with digital payments. And if you're thinking about, Visa, for example, openly uses this as one of its pitches to businesses. It says people spend 25% more with card payments than with cash, right? And to Visa, this is a really good thing. But of course, if you're actually interested in budgeting and you're interested in not getting indebted, cash is a very well-tested budgeting tool. It's got this physicality, it's got these limits to it. You know what you're spending. And absolutely, Michael's totally right there.
Thanks for the call, Michael. We're talking to Brett Scott about his new book, Cloud Money, Cash Cards, Crypto, and the War for Our Wallets. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you want to be able to buy stuff in the future? Do you want to have that option of paying cash? Do you want to do everything with cards or online transactions? How about a little crypto in the mix? 800-642-1234 is the number. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with journalist and author Brett Scott. His new book out today is Cloud Money, Cash, Cards, Crypto, and the War for Our Wallets. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Maria is with us on Washington Island. Maria, hi.
Hi. Great program, as WPR always does. But I just wanted to share on Washington Island, and this is why I like cash or checks. Everybody's at the grocery store on Friday. It's a very small, wonderful grocery store, but their internet went down. So you've got about 50 people trying to get all their groceries for the weekend, and the only way you could pay for it is if you had cash or if you had a check. They could not accept credit cards. So there you go.
Maria, thanks for the call. Brett?
Absolutely. I mean, again, as I mentioned, you know, the Federal Reserve sees these very big increases in cash demand when there's big weather events approaching. And, you know, the saying is cash doesn't crash. And, you know, we're often told that digital, complex, large-scale digital systems are naturally better than smaller, slower analog systems. But actually, that's a very big assumption. That only really applies when the electricity is up and running and the system's up and running. You know, I'm actually based in Germany, in Berlin, and, you know, a couple of weeks ago, the entire digital payment system went down, leaving many people stranded, you know. So it's a really big, in terms of like resilience, cash plays a huge part in economic systems. And actually, if you think about it, you think about even questions like national security. If you are totally dependent upon digital infrastructures for your economy to keep running, you run a big threat from cyber attacks, even terrorist attacks on payment systems. So one of the biggest arguments for cash right now is around its resilience and how it maintains systems.
Maria, thanks for that call. We'll go to Tim now in Eau Claire. Hi, Tim.
Hi. So there is a whole thing called the cash economy as well, where people, the guy who comes and mows my lawn, I want to be able to give him cash. Maybe even the guy who comes and roofs my house, because you might not want the government to know where all of the money comes in and all the money goes. I can see where the IRS would absolutely love a cashless society, because they would be able to track every last dime.
Tim, thanks for the call. Brett, that is something you look at in your book.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is often one of the biggest, weapons in the arsenal of the digital payments promoters, where they'll talk about how cash supposedly facilitates huge amounts of tax evasion. I don't for a moment deny that there is forms of tax evasion that occur with cash, but I would question whether the alternative is any better, because if you look at the normal digital payment system and the normal banking sector that facilitates that payment system, it facilitates huge amounts of offshore tax avoidance, right? So corporate tax avoidance. So fine, it's true that, you know, you might find a small contractor who sort of gets away with a bit of tax here and there, but the banking sector that runs the digital payment sector actively facilitates billions of dollars worth of tax avoidance for the corporate sector all the time. And they're the ones who promote digital payments. So, and the FBI has entire teams that specialize in trying to trace and track fraud and tax avoidance in digital payment systems. So this idea that cash is uniquely suited to tax avoidance is simply not true. And I don't want to romanticize the cash economy. It's a very, very important part of many people's lives.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to Brett Scott about his new book, Cloud Money, Cash, Cards, Crypto, and the War for Our Wallets. Back to your calls now. Matthew is with us in Milwaukee. Hi, Matthew.
Hi there.
What did you want to bring up?
Well, you've just basically hammered out all the points that I had brought up before, so I don't need to rehash that. So I guess off the cuff, as little as I know about crypto, is there any democratization of not having as many fees with the crypto-based economy versus standard what we use now is credit cards and fee-based or things that are based with fees currently?
Matthew, thanks for the call. And we haven't gotten to the crypto part of your subtitle yet, Brett. any advantage there, Matthew is wondering, to, you know, going to a bank and paying the bank's fees?
Yeah, sure. I mean, look, maybe one thing, a broader point to just make about the crypto world is that many of the innovations that led to crypto were designed in the 1990s when groups were looking ahead and they were saying, you know, in a future cashless society, if it happens, we're going to need some type of alternative, quote unquote, digital cash to act, because they were concerned about the potential for corporate surveillance and state surveillance in a society where everything's tracked. And so there's a lot of history in the crypto movement about responding to an imagined future cashless society. Whether you'll pay less fees using crypto relative to, you know, banks is a question I don't necessarily know. I mean, you can pay huge amounts of fees in crypto transactions sometimes. It can be very volatile. But I mean, I think maybe the point to question is that the, you know, while the crypto community has positioned itself as being this digital cash system, actually what it's really ended up being is something far more like a kind of speculative investment that can also be used for exchange. All right. And if you're a sort of small business owner or somebody just trying to, you know, make your way in the economy, it's actually pretty unstable to be using a type of a form of exchange, which is constantly massively fluctuating in price, which is what, for example, the Bitcoin system does. So, you know, even if you do save on fees, you might be subject to all this extreme volatility all the time. And whether you want that or not is depends on who you are, I guess.
Thanks a lot for that call. One big theme, Brett, that I don't want to run out of time before we get to, there was this idea, we've got these too big to fail banks and the Great Recession, and we needed something different. So here comes Silicon Valley, and they're going to disrupt the money industry, the banking industry, and give us a lot of alternatives. What I take from your book is they've been merging and cross-pollinating a lot more than that initial anticipation might have said. What are you seeing there?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, back in 2008, you know, big players like Google still had this very sort of, you know, people were quite uncritical about players like Google. They sort of saw them as being these, you know, quite cuddly corporations back in 2008, whereas the banking sector was seen as this, you know, this industry that had fallen from grace. And back at that time, this whole story came out saying, you know, well, tech will revamp finance, it'll democratize it and so on. But really what's been happening is that, especially in the realm of fintech, is what's happening has been the automation of finance, right? So a lot of these fintech companies take the same financial system and just make it faster and more automated. And really that actually ends up helping Silicon Valley to fuse with the financial sector. So if you think about a player like Amazon, for example, Amazon can't do anything unless it's plugged into huge digital payment systems. Amazon requires fintech infrastructures in order to operate in the way it does. So there's a natural synergy between big finance and big tech. And really that's what's been going on with the fusion of big finance and big tech. And one of my arguments is that one of the reasons why we have this, at least in the sort of public narrative, this idea that cash will inevitably go into decline, is that we at some level we're subject to this ideology that in the future big finance and big tech will reign supreme. Or I didn't quite put that quite right, but cash has been crushed in a sense by the forces of finance and tech trying to fuse. And people who are trying to hold on to cash, you know, in a sense you're trying to act against that. You're trying to say, actually, you know, I want to maintain localization. I want to maintain some autonomy over my money rather than having it deferred to these big players.
Just our last minute or so, apart from, you know, making a point of using cash, I guess, what else do you see as options for people who don't like this idea of a cashless society and don't like the idea of more concentration of power in those businesses you're just talking about?
Well, look, I mean, going back to this metaphor of cash being the public bicycle system of payments, you've got to sort of form political movements around saying, look, we don't want the payment system being totally privatized, but also the financial system more generally, building public alternatives, building a strong diversity into the system. So, I'm arguing for people to take this stand. Look, I also think there are very interesting forms of alternative currencies you can dabble in, but in the book, I'm not trying to promote cryptocurrency or anything like that. But I do think there's a lot of interesting experimentations you can do with local currencies and alternative types of currencies. But my main call to action right now is to just maintain the public utility of the cash system.
Brett, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Rob. Great to be here.
That's Brett Scott, a journalist, monetary anthropologist, and former financial broker. We talked to him today about his latest book. It's out today. It's called Cloud Money, Cash, Cards, Crypto, and the War for Our Wallets. If you try to do as much as you possibly can with cash, if you run a business where you either only take cash or strongly encourage customers to use cash, love to hear your story. You can email us, ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org.